And that was Don't Delete the Kisses by Wolf Alice. My name is Carla. You are listening to Girls Meet World on CKUT 90.3. I am joined by my wonderful friend, Mariana. Mariana, how are you doing?
I'm doing very good. How are you?
I'm doing amazing. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. In this special February episode, unfortunately, Kat cannot be with us and Adele neither. Zoe will be here very shortly. I promise it. It's her great return to Girls Meet World. But we're happy to have you here. February is a great month. And I know that Kat is going to be listening to this. So Kat, wherever you are, we love you. And we hope to have you next month. Anyways, so today is February, Girls Meet World. Last episode, we left off on a conversation about dating apps. And I maybe mistakenly stated something to the effect of, what if I went on a dating app, see how that goes, and I will report to you back in a month how that goes. Kat took me at my word and made me do it. So long story short, I did research for about a month on dating apps, and I come to you with my results. Yeah. Mariana, I know that I have been telling you this about...
You've been telling me about it in class, and I am so excited for you to tell us those results. I think that the results are somewhat predictable. I think that the outcome, you know... When you say dating apps, like, people know what to expect, kind of, especially during this month of February. But I'm excited for you to share this with us.
Yeah, so I will get into it. I actually made an intro. I wrote a document. I made, like, I was going to make slides on Canva, but then I thought about it and I was like, I had things that, like, took precedence over this, i.e. my homework and midterms, but I do have, like, a template of a Canva presentation. So if ever you want to see it, we have a comment section, actually. We have a comment section on the CKUT website where you could leave comments. Someone did last month, and I responded. So if you leave a comment telling me that you want the Canva presentation, I will gladly send it to you, or I will make it publicly accessible on the Girls Meet World website on CKUT.
Please, somebody leave a comment on the website, because I think this should be public information. I am dying to see it. Please send it to me. Forward it to me.
Yeah, so I will get into it. So my little intro, I talk about my experience with dating apps. So back in 2020, bored, freshly 18-year-old me and my friends decided to have fun, in quotation marks, and download dating apps, because what else do you have to do when you're locked in your house 24/7?
Of course.
I had a terrible time, like, truly awful. I went to CJEP, where I took a class on gender and feminist studies, where I wrote my final paper on sexual racism on dating apps, and I am self-plagiarizing myself, but, quote, in a now-deleted blog post by OkCupid's founder, Christian Rutter, an analysis of OkCupid's user data showed that Black women and Asian men were seen as the less desirable by the user base. And I know that this is a radio show, so you cannot physically see me.
But I need to vouch.
I am Black. I am a Black woman. So that does affect my experience on dating apps, and to pretend that it didn't would just be a lie. Anyways, I went into this skeptical, very, very skeptical. I think I was complaining about it every single class that we had.
Yes, I agree. I mean, how wouldn't you be skeptical, though?
Yeah. A teensy tiny part of me was like, but what if it works? What if I come in a month and I'm like, guys, I have a boyfriend.
That would have been the biggest plot twist in history, honestly.
It would have been a great, great, great plot twist. Unfortunately, that's not what happened. So as I have to preface, I am a Black woman, so my experience is not universal. I did not pay for the premium versions of these apps because, one, I'm poor, and two...
We're working with a certain budget here. I think
we're working with a certain budget. And I said I had better things to spend my money on, which... I think I could, like, relativize this as I personally would not spend my money. If you think it's worth it to spend money on dating apps, do so. I personally just did not find it to be worth it. There were certain trends that I saw. Number one, gym pictures. Oh my God, so many gym pictures.
Can we get started about the bio often? The gym pictures are always related to like looking for my gym buddy, looking for my lifelong gym buddy.
I have a theory on that.
What is your
theory? And I ran this theory by every single man that I know in my life.
Please elaborate on this
theory. They have all corroborated my theory. My theory goes as such. As a man, you don't take pictures of yourself alone because it is a it's perceived as weird and a little bit self-centered if you're always taking pictures of yourself.
I don't agree with that. I think that is toxic masculinity talking.
I know, but toxic masculinity is very, very powerful.
True. It is, sadly.
Therefore, in the gym, it is socially acceptable for you to take pictures of yourself to show off your gains.
Okay. So, listen. Why is it then that there's a double standard when women do this in the gym? I don't go to the gym. I'm not a gym goer.
I go to the gym, but it's a woman-only gym.
Okay, see, that I applaud. That I like. We should have more women-only gyms. But why is it the double standard that, okay, let's say, this thing with, like, men taking their pictures alone in the gym being socially respectable and, like, acceptable, why isn't the same thing for, like, if women who, like, you know, show their, like, pump and, like, you know, the glutes are gluting, you know, the bridge is bridging, why is it that when women do that, they're always like criticized and labeled as like, oh my gosh, she's just trying to show some booty. Like,
I don't know. And my dear friend Andrea was supposed to be on this episode, and she studies. She's an honors gender and gender studies and feminist studies. She could have answered this question.
Oh,
she might next month. We will see. But Andrea, if you're listening to this, please answer us.
I have a question for you, Andrea. Which is that? Why is there a double standard for gym pictures?
I don't know. Like, again, the toxic masculinity is very strong. Next, I said, for the love of God, please watch something other than The Office.
Agreed.
Or Friends. They're great shows. I have seen them both. That being said, I feel like you need a little bit more diversity in what you're watching. I did this on two different apps. I did Hinge. I did Bumble. I did Tinder for a day, but then I deleted my Tinder because I saw too many people that I knew. In no point did I say that this study was going to be subjective or up to, you know, scientific standards. Because if it was up to scientific standards, I technically would have swiped right on everybody and then have a conversation with everybody and then gone out with everyone who would have proposed to me to go out with. And, you know, this is not scientific. This is purely subjective. I said on Hinge, I wrote the app is kind of greedy because if I wanted to go through the people who liked me, I had to pay. Same for Bumble.
Yes.
And I said, I don't know if this is a me thing only, but my dating accounts are participative. My friend's input means a lot to me because a lot of time I would like have one. I would like give the phone to my friend and be like, what do you think?
Yes.
And if they'd be like, I don't know about this one, I'd be like, okay, that's a no. But if they'd be like, oh my God, yeah, you should go for him. Even though like technically, like I would never do that in real life, I would do it.
Yes. I myself have personally been victim of this friend swiping shark attack and have been forced to go on dates with people that my friends have swiped for me.
Actually, a funny story. I had a picture of me and my best friend who actually has been not on this show. She's been on Off the Hour. I had a picture of me and my friend just like hanging out in like Old Port, and someone was like, hey, would it be rude if I asked you for your friend's number?
The audacity. See, but I admire the work though.
Yeah,
like going out of your way for that. I mean it's a double standard. You can consider that being wrong or admiring because somebody went out of the way to ask for your friend's number or information.
Yeah, but
did you give it to him?
No, I didn't. And my friend has a boyfriend, so it would have been redundant.
Good for your friend.
Anyways, other thing that I said, and I think that this is mainly what I'm going to mostly focus on, because this is a show usually hosted by women in political science. So we do have the tendency to like over scientify, theorize things.
That's a very political science course.
It's a very political science thing. But one thing that I really wanted to, so on Bumble, about 184 people liked me after having the app for about 7 days. I don't know what the like average would be for like women. And I said, I'm going to acknowledge the fact that I was way more selective now than I would have been 4 years ago. Because that's just the truth.
Yes.
Okay. So to go back on the applying poli-sci theory to dating apps, one of the things that I did not like about this, and I think that most of this episode is going to hinge on when Zoe and Sophia might be coming here soon, is a lot of it felt like an exercise in capitalism.
Yes. No, it's 100%. It feels like, I don't know, like a social... It feels like a real-life social experiment.
I was going to say, it felt like... I was talking to my friend, Natalie. Oh, my God. I always call her Christina by accident. I was talking to my friend Natalie about this earlier, where I was like, seems to be this, like, commodification of love.
Yes.
Where, like... You're on it, but you feel like you are a product and the other people are also a product.
Yes.
And I don't like to think of people that way, but that's just the way that capitalism has rendered dating, where like, yes, love is a commodity to be bought. And you could argue that, like, well, love was always a commodity to be bought, because back in the day, marriages were made for like strategic alliances and like consolidating resources and like what match would be best for the family. And like the idea that we have now of like love being like purely like romantic and wanting to marry someone for romantic love is rather new. Mm. But I don't know. I feel like this is very like a late stage capitalism way of going about it, where it's like, statistically, we know who are the people you are most compatible with, but we're going to keep them behind a paywall. And unless you don't pay us $15 a week, we're not going to show them to you.
Yes. I mean, that's another way also how capitalism can work and be motivated by like human, like very human, some things that are like very inherently from human nature, like acceptance and wanting to fit in. And although granted, yes, dating apps can be used for love, also we do know that there may be ulterior motives why people use dating apps. But that's still capitalizing on, you know, that desire, like even if it's for like one night stands and stuff like that, you know? Like,
yeah. And
putting a price on people's like connectivity to other human beings.
And I was thinking about it in terms of like the industry that has emerged around dating, where you have dating apps, dating coaches, femininity coaches.
Yes.
You know, you could buy courses from like love experts or relationship experts. And it made me think, because, you know, we are recording this on, like, Black History Month, and also it's soon going to be Valentine's Day, which is the special, like, Valentine's Day edition of the show, which is why we're doing an expansion on dating apps, which we started in the last episode. Is in last episode, we talked about, like, how dating has changed and evolved because of social media.
Yeah.
But I think that dating and love has changed and evolved also because of capitalism.
Yes.
And I feel like Kat would be amazing to talk to this about, mm-hmm, but she's not here. But it's so crazy how there's, like... I don't know how much the dating industry is going to be valued at. I'm going to look it up right now.
Millions. I would
probably
be ready to bet
billions.
Billions, probably. Yes. More accurately, 100%.
But it's so crazy that there's like an industry that is like dedicated to trying to get you with people, which again, maybe it's also because we live in like, I don't know how to explain it, a world that's really online and where people, because we also talk about this show, how we're living in like a loneliness crisis where people feel more detached than ever before, because on social media, you have these really like hyper niche communities where people can meet, but
yeah,
how that's like bad for like face-to-face interaction, and like third spaces aren't really a thing anymore.
True.
Because you and I were talking about this actually like before we entered the studio,
yes,
where I said something to the effect of like, oh, at John Molson School of Business, they're doing like a blind dating activity, and I'm not going because why would I go there?
100%.
But if you're thinking like, that's how people used to meet back in the day, but now it's become like kind of cringe.
I mean, I wouldn't say that's how people used to meet back in the day. I don't think like speed dating per se. I think what you're bringing, the point you're bringing of like basic human interactions, like saying hi to people, like when you cross them on the sidewalk, or saying thank you when people hold the door for you, or basic interactions like on the metro or on the bus. I think, yes, this lack of human interaction makes for dating being much more difficult. Again, am I still against speed dating? Yes, I think as a woman of color, the speed dating experience is totally different,
which we can speak about.
Yes,
it's also Black History Month. And in doing my research for this, I was also like acutely aware that like I'm Black, so my experience might diverge from that of Kat or that of Adele or that of Zoe. And it would be really, really stupid to leave that out, to be like, oh yeah, well, my experience is like universal and applicable to everyone. I mean, even if I was like a white woman, it would not be universal and applicable to everyone.
Yes.
But I was again talking to this with my friend Andrea, who I am so sad could not be on the show because she made so many good points, where I don't know if standards is the right way because it comes off condescending, but I don't think there's another word I could have used.
I think standards is an okay word. I think we need to like
destigmatize.
Remove, yeah, destigmatize and remove the taboo. Like, it's okay to have standards, guys. Please have them. If you don't, I fear for your soul.
There are certain things that I think you would like in a partner, in a romantic partner. Example, the same. I was very straight up. I was like, I am dating a liberal only. I'm not dating a moderate. I'm not dating a conservative. I'm not dating someone who's apolitical.
This is very poli-sci core right here.
It is, but like, and also to speak to this, I remember in talking to Andrea, I was talking about how there's this study on the ideological divide between men and women and how women are more liberal and men are like, young men are tending to be more conservative and young women are tending to be more liberal. And there's like a gap where women who are liberal don't want to date men who are conservative, and that's causing like a dating / marriage divide.
Interesting. I didn't know about
that. Also, there was a psychology.com article that went viral a few months or maybe last year that was talking about how women's standards for dating have like risen. Okay. And how men are unable to like close that gap. So you have a lot more single, lonely men.
Okay.
What
about the single lonely women who can't find men up to the standards?
But the thing is, if you read studies, it would usually say that the happiest demographic is single women.
Okay, I kind of see
single
that.
Unmarried women are like the happiest demographic.
Yes.
Which is not shocking to me. But at the same time, so as I was like on dating apps, I'd be like, okay, well, he's conservative, so that's a no. Mm. He's a moderate, so that's a no. He's apolitical, that's absolutely a no. And, you know, or I don't know, like I would want to date someone who's like taller than 5'8". Mm. For reference, I'm 5'4". So for me, 5'8 is like still tall.
Yes.
Or, you know, I would like to date someone who is college educated. That was a whole other thing of like how hard it was to find someone who's like college educated.
Yes.
And in talking to Andrea, she was talking about something to the effect of like, as a woman of color, you cannot afford to date down.
I agree with that statement actually.
And she didn't say this, but I'm inferring this of like, as a woman of color, you usually do know another woman of color who has like married down and you see how that turned out and you want to avoid that. But also because you don't have the same like social capitalism as other people. So you cannot afford to date below. And also in talking about like college educated, usually, okay, because I know this is kind of taboo. Most people date within their socioeconomic class.
I don't think that's taboo. I think
it's... And it makes sense.
It makes sense for people of higher socioeconomic status. Like, can we take a moment to talk about those... What is it? Like, the debutante balls?
Yeah.
Like, I went down a rabbit hole on TikTok about all of those, like, coming out balls and, like, debutante and, like, how that's basically just a way for them to reinforce their... and protect their assets. And, you know, that's crazy to me. I find that absolutely...
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, and it's absolutely crazy that there is this like taboo of like a woman dating, because I know you're not black, but I remember a few months ago there was a debate in the black community because there was a woman who was being interviewed by, I forgot, I think it was in Yonla, and she said something to the effect of like, would you date a bus driver? And she said no. And she said, I'm a lawyer, why would I?
Okay.
Caused a lot of backlash.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, why would she? Because like, again, socioeconomic conflicts are a real thing. So like it's normal for you to date within your own socioeconomic class. And so Zoe, do you want to chime in on the idea of like dating within your own socioeconomic class? Because personally, we are all here getting like a bachelor's degree, and I feel like we all ideally would like to be with someone who also has a bachelor's degree, because I'm not saying this to say that because you have a bachelor's degree, you're not going to get along with someone who only has like a high school diploma.
100%.
But especially as a woman, the amount of conflict that can happen because of the class divide is a lot higher, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And also there's this concept of like in sociology, I think it was.
Yeah.
Of like you are supposed to marry someone that is similar to you. I don't remember like the actual term. It's like sociology, like convivial. No, I don't remember. But like, it's a thing. Like, it's proved. It has been proven that most of the time we're always like more attracted to people that are like more similar. So yeah, I totally agree with you guys.
Yeah, because again, in doing this dating experiment, it was so hard to find. Honestly. It was
also like the apps that you used as well. Maybe you can take that into consideration.
Yeah. And maybe also like the age range, because I went from like 20 to 25, 26.
Okay.
For reference, I am 21, turning 22 in 2 weeks.
Okay.
So I don't know. Maybe that played a part into it. Zoe, I was recapping sort of my experience on dating apps. It did not go well.
Oh, that was so expected.
It was expected. And it's so crazy that when you tell someone that you're on a dating app, the first thing is like, oh, it's not going to go well.
No, it depends. I mean, like in France, the vision about dating apps is really different from here. I feel like people here are more like independent minded and they're like, if I want to do it, I'm going to do it. And in France, it's more like judgmentary, I think.
Really?
So yeah, it's like you're on Tinder. Oh, so here I feel it's different, but at the same time, I'm not really like sure that you're going to find like the love of your life on an app. So yeah. I'm a bit skeptical, to be honest, about that.
And why is that?
I don't know. I feel like it's a good thing, but not for me. Like, I need to be real. Like, I need to see my future partner, like, in a real setting. Like, not through text. And I'm a super bad texter, too. So, it does not help.
I think that's important to find. I think also, kind of jumping on of what you say, the main thing for me is like, what if I were to introduce this person to my parents and they ask the question, oh my gosh, where do you guys meet? I would be so embarrassed to say like,
you know, what's so crazy.
So embarrassed.
A common bio that I would find is people saying something to the effect of like, don't worry, if I meet your parents, I'm going to say we met at a library.
At the library. Yeah, I saw that too. And I think that just speaks that that's a universal experience.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. But at the same time, like my brother, his ex-girlfriend, he found it. On Tinder, like in France, and he was like, I met her on Tinder, and he was not like desperate or anything. It was like, yeah, we were both looking for a person, and they stayed together there for like a year. And it was a great experience. So now, with this counterexample, I've like my views on that subject are shifting a bit.
That's super interesting. Yeah.
And he was not ashamed that he met her on Tinder. He was like, it was just a way to meet people. And I could have met her like at a party. It would have been the same for me. So
that's super interesting. I think maybe on my part, the complication, let's say, is maybe more of a cultural concept. Like, I'm Latin American. So if I were to say to my parents, like, I met on a dating app. Like, dating apps are still very taboo in the head of my parents.
Mm-hmm. My parents, too.
Even if, like, dating apps are super common in Latin America, too. Like, obviously, that's a worldwide effect, you know? I think maybe that's why. And I'm super happy for your brother. I know a lot of people, too, that have been in long-term relationships. And it's crazy how sometimes, like in my case, we let external perceptions play into you being on those apps, you know?
Yeah. No, that's super crazy. And we're going to take a little break, musical/ad break. We're going to take a little ad break and we will be back with more on dating apps. And maybe we might pivot to something else. Who knows? We will see where the conversation takes us.
Tu t'es occupé de ton ami qui saignait du nez après qu'il soit rentré dans une porte patio fermée, sans rire de lui?
Évidemment.
Avec ton empathie, tu as de l'avenir en santé et services sociaux. Trouve ta place sur québec.ca/carrière-en-santé. Un message du gouvernement du Québec.
TD and Production Nuit d'Afrique present Women of the World Raise Their Voices. 5 special concert evenings from February 1st to March 8th. Don't miss the grand premiere. Lidl's Cameroonian Slam, Brazilian songwriter Bia Pereira, Lorraine Classen's 40-year career anniversary, The Roots Daughters Sound System, and Cora Virtuoso, Sona Jobarte. Discover the full program on festivalnuitafrique.com. This is a CKUT co-presentation.
Yeah, look, it's been wrong.
around the corner, diamond coated, no Eddie Bauer. Ain't got no homies, niggas gone if they ever doubt it. Who got some coins, they the coldest, let's bet a thousand. Shoot for every star in the solar, I air it out. I'm something special, shorties message me every hour. You out here wondering who she texting, don't worry about it. Professional, go to extra mileage for rain. So they telling me she got good taste, let me test your palate. Serve this food for thoughts till I got Gallo in my chalice. Place me anywhere, I'm still aware of my surroundings. I've been in it for a minute, put my 10,000 hours. Everything hits, no wonderlands like Alice.
Can't get complacent, can't get cozy. Don't celebrate me when I'm gone, please. I'm on this elevator with the homies. I can't do this thing about my
lie. Numbers had me hypnotized, pushing pride, pussy power nearly left me paralyzed. Freak freak of the week, devil red colored dress and a see-through pair of tights. Weak weak at the knees, man don't make it through the night. Meep meep, road runner, ooh, through the summertime. Beep beep, it's a bim, a couple seats, clean sweep, ain't cheap. Trying to heal all my components with some THC. I get way too distant off the Disaronno. I empty cups, I look for answers, what the hell do I know? Balance life to be a boss, feel like the new soprano. Feel like Sanford, no one know me like my old piano. Now change the channel.
Can't get complacent, can't get cozy. Don't celebrate me when I'm gone, please. I'm on this elevator. Celebrate me when I'm gone, please. I'm on this elevator with the homies. I can't do this thing about my lonely. No, 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 no.
If you don't know how to make chords, this is it.
Oh, damn. Okay. Hello. Welcome back to CKUT 90.3. My name is Carla, and we are back with Mariana.
Hello.
And Zoe.
Hi.
Yeah, we're going to continue. Sorry for that. Sorry for that. Miscalculation of when the song was going to end. So back to our topic. One thing I really wanted to talk about, because I was talking to another friend of mine when I was doing this experiment, and I truly tell you, everyone who had ears, I would tell them that I was doing this experiment. and I said something to the effect, because I was talking about whether or not, no, because I was talking about my experience as a Black woman, and then that went into whether people should date outside of their race, and whether you should discriminate people that you're going to date because of your race. And my friend was like, no, you shouldn't at all discriminate. And then I brought the point of like, well, if you're a person of color and you don't want to date a white person, because like, I don't know, you don't want to explain like racism to them and how like what certain times are going to do something that's a microaggression, you should be allowed to do that. I don't know. I'm like, not to like leave the floor to you guys.
Opening the floor to this discussion.
Yeah.
Because I realized we're like, that's a very loaded question as I was formulating it.
Okay, any thoughts? I mean, I can only talk about personal experience. I don't discriminate. You know?
I also don't.
But I don't know. It's a very touchy subject.
I know.
Like, it's a very loaded question.
Yeah.
I don't think you should. If you do, will I like...
But at the same time, if you're thinking about it, if someone is only like, I don't know, if a white man is only dating white women, do you really want to date that person as a person of color?
Okay. But see, that's not discriminating against dating white men in general. That's you learning about a person's dating history and their behaviors and then understanding maybe what's behind that, which is, to me, it's a totally different thing.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know.
That's... Again, I say that I also don't discriminate on who I date.
No. Do I understand people that do? Probably not. Would I say anything if they do?
I mean, do probably you though? Not. I don't know. Because I was thinking about it. I'm like, I don't know. If you're Greek, you probably do want to date someone who's also Greek.
I think affinity is a very different thing than discrimination. It's a whole different process. It's the opposite.
Okay,
you
but
being
when...
more attracted to certain ethnicities or having more affinity with certain ethnicities or more things in common is a whole different thing. Than...
Okay, but when does that enter into fetishism? Because not to put a friend of mine on blast, I have a friend who only dates Asian women and he's not Asian.
Okay. Yeah.
So
that's a different thing.
It's more like having a type, like having a special style that you like. But for me, like, I don't know, I've never dated someone really different from me. And I feel like...
Have you only dated French people?
Yeah.
It's fine to admit it. It's fine. If it makes you feel any better, I've only dated people who, like, are not Quebecois, but, like, who've, like, lived in Quebec, like,
technically. But it's just, like, we were talking about that with a friend, like, a few hours ago. It's just, like, so simple. Like,
yeah.
Actually, all of my friends, are, like, my best friends here are French because it's so natural and simple. And when I arrived, like, as a first year, I was like, I want to meet people, like, different from me, but I need some reassuring, too. And they were, like, here, and it's so easy that... You just go into it. And now I've got, like, connections with English speaker, but, like, my real, like, besties, they're French. I know it's a bad thing. And, no, it's not necessarily a bad thing.
But at the same time, you are, like, a French person living in Quebec, so you're going to look for other people who, like, their experience of Quebec is similar to yours.
And it's just so simple. You don't have to make any efforts. And whereas in English, you have to, like, constantly, like, trying to prove that you know how to speak English, that you're funny in English, and it's not that easy. And sometimes I just want to be, like, just me, and not, like, me in English.
Okay, so kind of jumping off on this, I was having a conversation with a friend the other day about how do you... she's French also, by the way. She was saying, do you feel like you're being your most authentic self when you speak your native language or another language?
Ah.
So I asked this question to you because you were kind of... hinting towards that. Do you feeling their most authentic self is this French speaking you and not the English speaking you?
Of course, because you know I'm way more I'm funnier in French and it's like my language. And you know what, I'm even like funnier when I'm in my hometown because I live in the south of France in Marseille.
I love Marseille.
Yeah, best city in
Marseille,
the world.
Baby.
And for me, like, when I'm at home, I'm, like, I'm having my accent back. And when I'm here, I'm not, like, I can have my accent, but it's always, you're Marseillaise. And I'm, like, yeah. I don't want, like, people to say any mean thing about my accent. So now I just don't have it anymore here. So, yeah, I'm myself in French, but especially in Marseille, like, for me.
It's the most authentic you.
Mm-hmm.
See, interesting.
I was thinking about that because I'm like, if you know me in French and you know me in English, I'm two completely different people.
Really?
Me too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I will be totally opposite to both of you guys. I feel like I'm my most authentic self in all the languages I speak.
Because you must be, like, fluent. Like, bilingual.
Because I'm also fluent bilingual, but I'm different. And maybe it's because I've been at English-speaking schools for too long where, like, the English is kind of taken over.
Yeah.
But, like, I have realized that, like, I'm not as funny in French as I am in English.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the complete opposite. But I don't consider myself as bilingual, so I'm struggling a bit.
Because I think you are.
I think you are.
No. That's nice.
No, but give yourself more credit. You are.
Yeah.
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 Aren't you doing your undergrad degree and your second language?
Yeah.
There you go.
You host a radio show in English.
There you
like,
go.
Yeah, but I can understand anything. I can write. I can read. But speaking, I'm never practicing. Like, I don't have any English-speaking friend. So I'm never, like, actually learning the slang. And I have, like, a formal English. Like, the one that I learned at school. So, yeah, I don't consider myself as bilingual, but I will be someday, I hope. We'll see.
That's really fascinating. Yeah. Because I know we might veer into, like, a different subject, but what am I here? Marianne, I remember one day in class I asked you about this. What are your thoughts on ghosting?
Oh, my God.
So, for those who are not aware, the practice of ghosting is when you are messaging someone by text or you are seeing someone, like, I don't know, face-to-face, and then the other person just ceases all contact with you, doesn't give you a reason, and they just disappear. I was talking about that because, long story short...
Oh, here we go.
Oh, my God, I don't want
to... I'm excited for this.
Yeah, me too.
Please okay. carry on, Carla.
So I don't want to be like I love ghosting because I don't. But a lot of the times I really didn't want to send the text of like, hey, you're really a nice person, but I just, the vibes aren't here. Or I don't know. Like, I just don't feel like this. Because in a way it's like, I feel like they know. I don't know. A part of me feels like if I'm sending the message where I'm like, oh, it's not you, it's me. But they're like, okay, yeah, no, but it is me. Because I have been sent that message before where I've been like, okay, well, it's not you, it's me. But it's like, no, it's really me. You just don't like me. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to spare hurt feelings. I'm just going to not contact you.
No.
And if it makes you feel any better.
No. It won't.
The one person I really, really liked on dating apps ended up ghosting me.
Oh,
that's karma, Carla.
And I don't know. I don't think you were there. There was a class where it was, because it happened on a Friday. There was a class, Dr. T. The entire hour, every time I would get a notification, I would turn my phone looking like a crazy person and be like, oh, it's not him. Then another one, oh, it's not him. No. And after, like, at the end of the day, I was like, okay, I have officially been ghosted and this hurts my feelings.
It hurts. Mm-hmm.
But then I go again and ghost other people.
Yeah, I don't think you should be ghosting. Like, for me, it's super mean. Like, don't do that. Just say, sorry, it's not gonna happen. And that's it. You don't have to be like, it's not you, it's me. You can just say, sorry, it's not gonna happen.
You don't need,
you know?
You don't need to send a huge. Okay, so personal experience with ghosting. I used to be such a big ghoster. No. Like, I'll admit it. I'll be the first to say it because I was immature and I learned that it was easier for me to be immature and not say anything than being upfront with what I want. So I had made in my resolution a few years back, actually, that any interactions that I decide to have with members of the opposite sex, that I would be upfront, like from the get-go.
Really?
Yeah, and that's what I do now.
Oh, wow.
I'd be like, listen,
that's commendable.
It takes so much strength. Trust me, the first few times are really tough. The first few times, because sometimes you don't want to admit it to yourself too, that you're looking just for something casual, per se, let's say. Or that you're like, you really want to take your time with meeting this person. It takes a lot of vulnerability and a lot of self-acceptance to like, think it, and then another thing is telling another person about it, because then that person is holding you accountable to what you said.
Yeah, but you felt better, right?
So much better.
Yeah,
I love this life I'm living.
My, because my philosophy to it was, if we're texting, I don't owe you anything. But once we have met in person, then if this is not going to work, I will send you the text to be like, hey, you're cool, but this is just not going to work out. That was my philosophy on
it. I have the same philosophy. I just think taking it a step further is, I don't owe you anything if we're texting. I still stand by that. But then me not owing you anything and me having a clear conscience, maybe it's for selfish reasons, perhaps. Like, you might argue that. But I think it's, I don't owe you anything, but like, it doesn't cost me anything for me to close the page and like, close the chapter and telling you like, hey, like, you're super interesting, but like, I lost interest. Like, you know, very respectfully, obviously, never trying to hurt anybody's feelings.
Yeah.
And also, if you're only still at the texting stage, I doubt that any feelings will truly be hurt. Like, if you get attached to me after 2 weeks of texting.
Can I talk about the stalker?
You go for it.
Okay, he's not a stalker, but I feel like it's easier to. Okay, so. So he's looking at me like, what do you mean? Okay, so.
You don't know the story about this stalker. Okay.
Okay, so Kat knows about this. I was on the app with my friend, and I see a guy, and I'm like, he looks nice, and he likes, because he did like my profile and whatever. And I was like, I'm not really sure about it. And to me, now I know that if you're not sure, it's a no. Anyways.
That's so true.
I was not sure about it. And my friend was like, you know, I feel like he just needs like the girlfriend glow up. Do you know what the girlfriend glow up is? Yeah, when a guy gets a girlfriend, he glows up because she's like, okay, you should keep your hair long. You should maybe buy this and wear this and does this.
Work on the girl.
Yeah. And I was talking to my friend and she's like, well, you could give him like a girlfriend glow up. And I was like, well, I'm not Bob the Builder. No. Why am I tasked with like?
I like that.
I'm not Bob the Builder. I'm not Mark Cuban on Shark Tank. Why do I need to invest in like,
it's not your role. Like, you're not.
I mean, if you're dating someone and you want to do it where you're like, hey, genuinely, your hair looks better long, keep it long or keep it curly. Or, you know what? Do you want me to go shopping with you? Because, you know, some of the outfits, that's fine. But I don't know why it's like an expectation. Anyways. Mm-hmm. So I was talking to this guy, and after like a few, this is where me really reconsider the ghosting method. I was just like, this is not the chemistry was not there. I don't want to be like he was too nice, but it's like the banter was not there.
Mm. Okay.
So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to ghost and hope he gets the message. I go on a different app.
And you saw him.
I see him. And I wrote something to the effect of, I need someone with a sense of humor. I receive a paragraph.
Oh.
A paragraph being like, I'm really funny. All my friends think I'm funny. I really think they should reconsider. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like,
oh.
And I was like, do I need to send him a message to be like, hey, you're nice, but just like, no. And I was like, I'm just going to let it be.
Hmm.
Found my Instagram. I don't know how.
The stalker. Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I think at some point you just need to like cut your losses and just move on.
But if you had sent him a text, this would not have happened.
There you go.
Yeah. And communication is the key for everything.
I know.
It makes you feel better.
I know. And I really don't want to pin all of my problems on my parents, but my parents are just not the best communicators between themselves. And right. You usually model what you see in your hoofs. So,
that's
like,
very true.
Be the counterexample.
I know.
Break the generational cycle.
Yeah.
I know. I'm going to therapy before having a child, if ever I have one, to like fix all my issues. But yeah, no, that was an experience. And I remember I told you about it.
I was like, it was the craziest thing. Also, I think I told you something along the lines of, we should slightly admire his research skills.
No.
Like, how did he find your Instagram?
I don't know.
Like, how?
For me, I don't know.
It's creepy, though.
It is very creepy. It is very, very creepy.
Because at some point, it's like, okay, well, if I'm not messaging you on, like, three different platforms.
True.
I feel like you would get the hint. Because, again, when the guy ghosted me, it hurt. I could have gone on and found his Instagram because I had his name. So, technically, I could find it. But, like, I didn't because you get the hint and you move on and you understand that there's other fish in the sea.
Exactly. Yeah.
There are many fishes in the sea. We live in a big city of Montreal where you know no one, but you know everyone. Mm. There are other fish in the sea, which the dating pool in Montreal is actually quite small when you think about it.
Okay, yeah. So Montreal dating. Jesus. You know the theory that, like, everybody's related to, like,
invisible
seven,
string?
Not the invisible string. That everybody's related up to, like, seven connections from you?
Yeah.
Montreal, I put it down to three.
Yeah.
I put it down to three.
Yeah.
I don't. Because, like, as an international student, like, I don't know anyone.
You have that privilege.
Because
don't take it for granted.
The amount of times.
Yeah, I feel it in my arms.
Especially if you went to, like, a hyper niche community, like, private schools. I don't know about you, but, like, private high schools, the amount of time it'd be like, oh yeah, I went to so-and-so high school. And someone would be like, oh my God, do you know who Mathilde is? It's like, yeah, I do know who he is.
Because it's a small population.
Oh, I had a seminar in communications. And he invited like a law student who came to talk to us, and she brought her boyfriend. I don't know what he was, but she brought someone else. And we were talking to him, and I was like, oh, what CJM did you go to? He's like, oh, I think he went to Dawson. He's like, yeah, I went to Dawson. And, you know, I really hang out with the Greeks there because, you know, he went to André Gasset. He's like, oh, I went to André Gasset. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, because that's the CJEP where all the private school kids go. And I'm like, oh, so did you go to private school? He's like, yeah, I went to Regina. And I'm like, oh, I went to Regina. Like,
it's a small circle.
It's such a small world. But it's, like, true in every city. Like, in Marseille, for me, it's the same. Like, we say Marseille is a village, and it's so true. You know everybody. Mm. And here it was, like, a fresh start because I don't know anyone. Like, when I'm walking in the street, I'm not going to bump into someone that I know. Like, it happens sometimes, but it's less frequent.
That has to be so nice.
That has to be very nice. This is my cue to move abroad. This is my cue to move to Marseille. We'll switch.
Yeah.
You stay here.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to stay. It's just the winter. I can't.
No,
to end so this bad. Valentine's Day special, we actually do have a lot of time. But do you guys want to have a worst date funny story? I have one, which is kind of horrifying. But do you guys want me to start?
Start so I can brainstorm on.
Okay. I had a friend. She was like, hey, I know this guy. I think you should go out with him. I think you guys would have a lot of common. I'm like, you know what? What am I risking? Again, for context, I said I am black, but like, I don't look ethnically ambiguous, but like, you could confuse me for being like a light-skinned black woman. Anyways, I meet this guy who is also, he's biracial.
Okay.
The most internalized racism I have ever seen in a person. The most microaggressions I have faced in my entire life.
No way.
The entire
mixed.
Yeah.
Oh.
Could you give some examples? Like, what did you do?
You know, you're like one of the most eloquent black girls I've ever met.
Oh, no, the eloquent card. No.
I, one time he was, because I was like, oh, I'm thinking of going to grad school. And then he's like, oh, what do you think about studying? And I go, oh, I want to study the intersection of like race and sports and politics. Because that's what I wanted to do at the time. Completely different now. And because I'm like, oh, you know, because, you know, sports are political. He goes on a tangent against Colin Kaepernick, like taking the knee during the national anthem. And it's like, you know, it's so un-American. I feel like he should be deported. And I'm like, deported where? He's American.
Oh, my God.
Anyways.
Was he American?
He was Canadian.
Oh, why is it always that Canadians
I know.
Talk about American
Anyways,
race politics?
It was the worst, like, hour of my life. I stayed the whole hour because I'm like, I don't know what this man is capable of. Anyways, paid for the coffee. He didn't even pay for mine. I had to pay for my own coffee.
What do you think about that, actually? Do you think you should have to pay? Because for me, I like to pay. It's more of like my independence. And even if it's for like $5, I like to pay.
You know, I like to be like, oh, I like it when he pays. But honestly, I don't, because then I feel like I owe you something. And I'm always like that, where like people do nice stuff for me. And I'm like, oh, I owe you one. And it's like, no, I was just being nice. But like, I really need to work on that. But I don't mind like explaining. Okay, here's the thing. We're broke college students. I don't expect you to pay.
Yeah.
As long as you don't expect me to pay. If we go Dutch on something, I'm fine. But if you want to pay, that's sure, do it. I won't mind.
Yeah, but you feel a bit like, not guilty, but like...
It's like okay, well, next time I'll pay, you know?
Yeah. So there has to be a next time.
If there's a next time.
Yeah. And if you don't want to have a next time, like, what do you do? You're like, okay, he paid for me. No, I don't like that. I don't like that.
Really?
I don't like that either. For me, first dates, for first encounters, first like in-person meeting, it's I can't let the person pay. Like it's like my dating rule. I pay for the first date, like for my stuff. I don't expect you to. I don't want to, because I literally don't know you. Like, it makes me uncomfortable, not because of what I owe you, not because of the next time, maybe a little bit, but it's more the fact that you're a stranger. Like, and yeah, stranger is kindness, but like, I literally don't know you.
You know?
And talking about dating rules, do you have any that you'd like to share?
Oh, dating rules. Okay, well, that's... That for me, the first one, the not letting people pay, like, cause we split for the first thing. Other dating rules. Clear communication, I think that's become my other dating rule. You know, from the get-go, like, these are my expectations. Like, this is what I align. If you like it, cool. If you don't, like, the door is open. I won't take it personal, like, at all.
Just respect.
Just respect. Yeah, respect, like, my personality. Ooh. Respect me, like, physically also. And, like, I'll get that respect
I cannot
back.
Talk about this on air. I told you a story. I will tell you the story later of, like, there's a... I went out with this one person who, like, I don't want to say he duped me, but, like, he made me think it was going to go one way. Then it did a complete 180 where it's, like, had you just told me this from the beginning, I would have been fine with it. But it's, like, the act of, like, deceiving me that makes me go, okay, you're kind of a scumbag.
Yeah, and knowing what you want is so attractive. Like, be confident about what
you... Yeah, because if you want something casual, just say it.
Honestly, guys, it literally takes one line, like, one text message.
Because I'm sure there's someone else who wants something casual to be with you. Like, don't pretend that you want a long-term relationship when... You don't. And then
it's
you.
It's not going to work. Like,
it's not going to work.
You're going to find out at some point.
It's disrespectful to the other person and, like, the other person's. And also, but it's also disrespectful to yourself. Like, self love. Like, at least, like, acknowledge what you want in life, you know?
I was going to say, in a world where, like, time is money, you don't be wasting other people's time. I will say, I was going to give some tips on dating apps. So, first off, don't have pictures of you and your ex-girlfriend, because I saw this a lot.
Oh, my God.
I can't believe that's all this is.
Don't mention situationships in your bio. Don't only have group pictures. I don't have the time to play Where's Waldo.
Yes.
Don't promote your music. Don't have AI pictures of yourself.
AI?
Yes. Yes. It's actually happening.
I haven't been on Tinder in a minute, damn. Okay.
We could do a whole episode on this next week if you want, next month. Have a great bio. there's a lot of great ones that I found. For instance, once was a taxation lawyer, and his bio was "Laisse-moi t'amener au paradis" in parentheses fiscal.
Wow. That's so fun. I love that.
If you are a couple looking for a third, don't go on a dating app.
Yes,
I feel like this should go without saying.
Yeah. There are dating apps just for that, though.
There are dating apps just for that. Oh, this one, I just found it really fun because I know we have 5 minutes. Professional overthinker by day, aspiring superhero by night. I'm on a quest to find the best taco in town and solve the mystery of why socks disappear in the dryer.
Wait, because that bio sounds familiar. Stop.
What? Really?
Stop. No way. He's still on there. Whoever you are. Shout out to you, guy. Shout out to you finding your socks. No way.
Oh, my favorite one. In a world where Justin Trudeau is single, guys like me don't stand a chance. I'm still going to try, though.
That's kind of quirky. That's, I like that. Cool. That's cute.
There was one that was like a... Anyways, there was one that had like a voicemail because Hinge, you can ask like a voice memo. Oh,
what do you think about that? Having like a total stranger's voice.
Sometimes it was like a turn off because I would hear someone's voice and I'd be like, ugh. And then it would just like turn me off. So if you don't have... I don't want to be like, if you don't have a nice voice, because I don't think I have a nice voice, but I do radio shows. So like... I don't know. What do I know?
What is a nice voice? Like, we don't know.
I don't know. Then again, it's subjective.
It's subjective. Yeah. True.
It's just like sometimes, like, a guy could be like, voix. I don't know how to say it in English, but like, rah, rah, rah.
The guys who change their voice first were like, mademoiselle.
Yeah,
like,
stop. It's terrible.
Stop. Don't, because when I'll meet you in person, I know that's not how you talk.
Yeah.
And that's a magic, massive turn off.
Yeah. We have 5 minutes left. This was a lot of... Oh, also, rec for dating apps. Be yourself.
Yes.
Be clear.
Yes.
Be transparent. Yes. If you don't have pictures of yourself, don't take gym pictures. Ask your friend, hey, let's go out for a day downtown.
Guys,
just take pictures.
Taking a picture of you alone does not... Like, that's not awkward, okay?
Take a picture of you doing your hobbies, a picture of you where we can clearly see your face. Show personality. Be yourself. Anyways, to conclude this episode, usually we end the show by giving a recommendation. It could be to anything, a movie, a book, a TV show, a podcast. Do you guys want to start or do you guys want me to start?
Go ahead.
Okay, so I actually forgot that I had a rec and I thought Andrew was going to be here. So I went to go see the movie The Iron Claw in theaters with Zac Efron and Harris Dickinson, who has been my obsession for like a year now. It is so good.
Oh, yeah?
If you have siblings... I feel like it's a gut punch, honestly. It's so well done.
Oh, yeah.
It's such a good movie. Zac Efron was robbed of an Oscar nomination.
Really?
If you don't know what it is, it's about it's about a family that they think that they're cursed and they're doing wrestling in the 80s. And it's so, so good. Please watch it.
Thank you for that. I will check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Okay, so for me, it's more like a personal advertising because I'm part of the Catalyst. It's a journal of international development at McGill.
And I'm the manager of that podcast.
Yeah, and we did a podcast and it's not there yet. So you could listen to it in a few days.
Yeah, and you should listen to the old episodes because I made them.
Yeah, there is one on Heidi that is I learned so much.
By yours truly. So
yeah, by Carla, of course. Thank you.
But I cannot wait to listen to your podcast.
I hope it will be good.
Zoe, can you tell us a little bit what it's going to be about?
It's on like, it all started with like Emmanuel Macron saying that we need to have like a demographic rearmament.
And
we're like, we're a bit confused about this expression. So we're like, we're going to do an episode about demography. And like, also the fact that now India has a bigger population than China.
Yes.
And we're like, we want to talk about that. And also, like, I took a class on Middle East politics. And the professor was talking about the advantages and the constraints of a young population. And it really interested me. So we did an episode on that. So... be sure to check it out. It will be out normally on Sunday. We did a French version and an English version, so you can listen to both or just one.
Or both if you want. Ideally both, right?
Yeah.
That's what we want.
I hope so.
Mariana, your recommendation.
I have a podcast to recommend that I absolutely love. It was actually recommended by Professor Dr. Deborah Thompson, poli-sci's dearest, and it's Normal Gossip. You can find it on Spotify.
Yeah.
It is...
If you're nosy, listen to it.
If you're nosy, if you like gossip like me, or like we say in Spanish, if you like chisme, please do yourself a favor, listen to it. Episodes are hilarious. Yeah. It's gossip about a friend of a friend. All is anonymous. It's scripted beautifully. And it's honestly my favorite thing to listen when I drive and I'm stuck in traffic lately. It's super entertaining, lighthearted, makes you laugh so much. And they always have fun guests, which is a plus. So I definitely recommend it if you're nosy and you like gossip and not knowing who the gossip is about. It's great.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. With a minute left to spare, thank you so much for listening to Girls Meet World. We will be back next month. I believe it's during spring break. I don't know. But we will see. Thank you so much for listening. Happy Black History Month.
Happy Black History Month. Happy Valentine's Day, too.
We're going to end on the song Dangerous by Shaylia. And we will see you all, hopefully, next month.
Airing on Asheville FM 103.3 LPFM in Asheville, this is The Final Straw Radio, a weekly anarchist and anti-authoritarian broadcast and podcast emanating out of occupied Chalagie land in southern Appalachia. We bring you voices and perspectives from projects and struggles all around the world, and you can find our archives, transcripts, ways to follow us and support us at thefinalstrawradio.noblogs.org. This week, we're featuring a conversation with Mohamed Horaini, a young activist from Masafariata, an area in the hills south of Hebron, in the occupied West Bank of Palestine. Mohammed is a member of a nonviolent group called Youth of Samud that struggles to hold on to the lives and sites of Palestinian villages despite displacement by the Israeli military occupation, as well as the illegal Zionist settlements such as the neighboring Havat Ma'on, and their routine violence and impunity. For the hour, Mohammed speaks about his work with Youth of Samud, their recent report co-published with The Good Shepherd on increased settler violence entitled Indigenous Erasure, How the Zionist Movement is Using State-Sanctioned Violence to Eliminate the Palestinian Communities of the West Bank. We also talk about South African genocide case against Israel in the International Court of Justice and other topics. You can learn more about Youth of Samud at youthofsumud.org, and pretty soon there will be a